Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, it is Cup Day, unless you're listening on a different day, in which it's not.
Yeah, but right now, Margo's got to go. She's got to get a fascinator sorted out and off to, where are you going?
To Cloudland.
See, if I could give you the benefit of my experience over many years, don't do Melbourne Cup. A Wednesday hangover is a wicked thing to have.
Well, the thing is Marto, I really wanted to go to the racetrack, but there was only general admission and another radio station's marquee tickets available. So I figured that neither of those would be inappropriate because if I went into the other radio station, of course, then they would then go, oh, my God, that's Margo from Triple M. We love her. And then they'll start listening to Triple M, of course.
Oh,
and if I go on the lawn, I'll end up with no shoes on, sculling jugs of beer, which happened the last time I went on ground lawn tickets.
Yes. That last year you went on your own, didn't you?
No, that was the year before. I'm going to a fancy establishment this year with some friends. Corey's coming along for the ride.
Here's the podcast, the catch-up podcast on the listener app with Triple M.
The Triple M Big Breakfast catch-up podcast for your next Queensland holiday, whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime. You can't beat days like this in Queensland.
Oh, time to talk about world affairs and global politics, Margo, with the G20 on and also COP26, whatever they're calling it over in Glasgow. I tell you who's been copping it is ScoMo from that little trumped-up Frenchman, Macron.
How good is a Macron?
Wow, he's a macaroon. Why doesn't he just... What about what he's done to his hair? Remember his hair used to be black?
What were you talking about?
He's gone all rusty colour like the
orange.
Yeah, it's
going whiter for summer.
It's the colour. Rich people dye their hair to pretend they're not dyeing their hair. You know how all the Channel 9 people, they all go black? Well, Macron has gone red to
pretend. He's on trend, Marto. Everyone goes lighter for summer. You go darker in winter and lighter for summer.
Not leaders of a nation, they don't. I'll tell you what, well, if anyone doesn't know, because we said we don't want those silly French subs
anymore.
They were diesel subs.
What is it, AUKUS? AUKUS, Australia.
Well, we decided, or Australia and USA and UK have decided to go into an alliance and to buy nuclear subs. Why would you buy diesel subs from France when you can buy nuclear subs from the USA?
It was like a $90 million deal or something, wasn't it?
They were being called the Citroen of the sea. That's how rubbish they were. And we said, stop with your $90 billion contract. We don't want to know you French people. And then Macron has stepped up and said that ScoMo's a liar.
AUKUS deal was very bad news for France, but not just for France.
Do you think he lied to you?
I don't think. I know.
Oh, he's called ScoMo a liar.
I don't think he's a liar. I know he's a liar. That's pretty salacious, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
Scotty from marketing, he doesn't agree.
I don't agree with that. That's not true. I don't accept it.
It's not true. I don't accept it.
That's exactly right. And the thing was, then ScoMo, that was when he first heard about it. He wasn't ready for this. The macaroons just unleashed this one. ScoMo had a bit of time to gather his thoughts, and a bit later he said, I'm not going to cop this from these blokes.
Those slurs, I'm not going to cop sledging of Australia.
Yeah, good on you, ScoMo.
They weren't sledging Australia, you numpty. They were sledging you, ScoMo, old Scotty from marketing.
So he's copping it from the macaroon from Auckland, from France, and then he's copping it from a bloke from the Labor Party. I don't even know who this bloke is.
I think all Australians are wondering if we really just got a Prime Minister who's the liar from the Shire.
That is magnificent.
Well, Scotty from marketing, ScoMo. Now they're calling him the liar from the Shire. I also heard ScoNo.
ScoNo.
Yeah, not ScoMo. ScoNo. He's copying it. But he's still got friends in high places, of course, Marto, because Barnaby Joyce has come out and supported him and said no.
Of course he has. He's the acting Prime Minister at the moment, Barnaby. Have you got him there somewhere?
We
didn't steal an island. Yeah. We didn't deface the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
We didn't let off a bomb in the Pacific. We didn't sink a boat in Auckland Harbour. No. We don't eat snails. We don't build shit cars.
It was a contract.
See, that was Barnaby, all of that. Might have added a little bit there. I tell you what, these French, do we need the French? Like, what do you buy that's French? Anything?
Champagne.
Don't say champagne. Can you do with
French champagne?
I can't do
the Italian version. I've tried Prosecco. It's not quite the same. We need the French. And croissants, Marto.
Oh, no.
Love a good bit of
carb. And apparently, here's Macron this morning. He's just unleashed one final volley at ScoMo.
I
fart in your general direction. What? Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Oh, I told you they were angry about their submarine.
Maybe ScoMo should fart in Joe Biden's direction and wake him up.
Oh, what about him?
He's been sleeping. It's all his fault. He's the one that threw Scotty under the bus in the first place.
He did too. He dobbed on us to the freak.
Oh, I'm sorry you didn't know about that deal, mate. That's not my fault. That's Australia's fault. You know that bloke from down under? What's his name?
Yeah, we can't remember his name.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, we here at Triple M have been throwing our weight behind Incentivised. Born, bred on the Darling Downs, bred by a Queenslander, early trainer was a Queenslander, Peter Moody's a Queenslander.
Is there any more incentive that you need to get behind Incentivised?
That's all you need to say, Margo. What an incredible career. With those first three or four races, got hammered, and then suddenly went to Sunny Coast, won over 1790, won again, and then, of course, Steve Tregear, his trainer, said, hold on, this is too big for me. I'm sending it down to Pete Moody. He sold out of half. It's one of the great stories, and here he is right now with us, the owner of Incentivised. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, thank you.
I know you low-key. We built you up a fair bit there. Can you explain those early days? Did you have faith?
Well, we always had faith he'd be a good stayer, but he was a very slow maturing horse. So we just had to keep biding our time and wait.
How did you come across this horse? How did it come into your hands? And tell us about the success of it. It's garnered plenty of attention leading up to today for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well, as all Melbourne Cup favourites do, there's a lot of talk about them. But, yeah, he's a horse that we bred, like all the horses that we race. He's the seventh or eighth foal of the mother. She's been a very good mare. She's produced four stakes winners altogether. So that's how we got hold of him, and we've been poking along with him for now 5 years.
So this distance today, Melbourne Cup, more suitable for him, obviously. His odds are very short, Steve. Are you expecting that?
Well, he's won 9 races in a row, so I suppose there's no reason why he can't run win a 10th. But the race is a lot longer than the races, which is what makes this interesting. The races he's won have been only up to 2,500 metres, which is getting close to 3,200.
Yeah, but so, it's that last little bit. If you've never been over 3,200, the question mark remains. Did I see on the weekend Peter Moody saying that he got Brett Prebble, the jockey, to keep going at the end of the Caulfield Cup? I didn't notice that.
Well, the horse ran through the line well, but, I mean, to tell a jockey in a Group 1 race to go slow is probably going to be ignored. So, I don't quite know what that means, but, you know, you can't stop a jockey if he's heading towards the post and the horse is full of running, he's going to keep going.
Obviously very familiar with the racetrack. What does today look like for you as an owner?
Look, the Caulfield Cup was his main target, so and he's got away with that and got away with it handsomely. So we're just quite relaxed about it, really, because this will be a bonus if he happens to win. Won 9 races in a row. He's won Group 1 races in a row, the last 3. So if he happened to win 4, that would be beyond our wildest expectations. And in fact, we never think about the Melbourne Cup. It's not on the radar for us.
How's the missus go? Did she ever say to you in the last couple of weeks, why did you sell 50% of him?
No, she hasn't said that. No, other people have asked me.
Right, but, you've got 1,000,000 to 1. Like, this doesn't happen to everyone, does it?
It hardly happens to anyone. Yeah. So that's why I don't ever expect it to happen. So, no, it's a dream come true. You don't expect these things to happen. But, you know, when you when you're in it for the long haul, like we've been for 40 years, and it finally does happen, I suppose in one sense you're saying, well, I mean, maybe it's just our time come around, but you never ever expect to be competing over the Melbourne Spring Carnival. Maybe in the minor races, but not in the Group 1 races.
Where will you be when the big one drops? Are you be in Toowoomba, or are you travelling to Sunny Coast? Where are you got to meet on?
We'll be at home.
You'll be at home.
Just watching it on the farm.
Watching it. That's it. Watching it on TV. A nice, relaxed viewing of it to see what's going on the day.
If I said I was taking Incentivise as my banker at the centre of my trifecta, what would be the other 2 or 3 horses you'd throw in?
I might throw in Very Elegant.
Yep.
One of the overseas horses.
Spanish Mission?
Probably Spanish Mission, although he's had a few hiccups. He had a hiccup in England before he left, and he's had a bit of a swelling in his leg leading up to this race.
Oh, has he just?
So, he's got a bit of a cloud over him, but that doesn't mean he won't go well either.
Yeah. Very Elegant has been relatively consistent in the Melbourne Cup over the last couple of years. That's a name I've seen pop up. I'm not one to really keep across the horse racing, Steve.
The winner from last year's in there, Twilight Payment.
Twilight Payment.
Would you throw him in, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be up on the speed with our horse. He'll be up there leading, I suspect. It's an interesting race because it's 3,200 metres and it's a handicap, so a lightly weighted horse that can stay the distance can always pop up and roll the fancied runners. So that's quite on the cards that could happen.
Steve, yeah. This afternoon, I hope it's a very successful and happy day for you, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much.
He'll be in fresh air and running hard. Steve, you're a champion. Thanks, mate. Good luck.
Thank you.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Mato, last night I don't get to sit down and watch TV all that much, but I wanted to make an effort to sit down and watch a new show that was coming to our screens. It'd been promoing over the last few weeks. And it's a controversial experiment, they're calling it, that's going to change the landscape of what parenting looks like. And it's called Parental Guidance.
Oh, this is the one with Big Sam Thaiday.
Sam Thaiday's on there. That's correct.
What does he do?
What it does is well, not a lot yet. Last night, what they do is they have a set of parents who are on display and a set of parents who are observers, and they put forward different styles of parenting to the same situation. So they say, we want you to go out for a family meal and we're going to film you.
So kids are involved too.
Oh,
this is torture.
It is torture, Marto. And I don't love the concept. I think putting our kids on display for judgment and opinion, you know, the kids aren't there whilst it's being done, but they are a part of the experiment, because they're going to get judgment and opinion from other kids and other families now that it's being aired, and they've still got to go to school and go to the playground and play sport. I just don't love it. Fair enough if you want to be an adult and put yourself forward for a reality TV show. I don't like the fact that people are using their children as a platform for this and exploiting them in this situation. But nonetheless, it is a TV show, and they do have a really great doctor on there who's a psychologist who's helping the parents along with Alison Langdon from Channel 9.
Who's the bloke who's the psychologist?
Dr. Justin
Colson.
Colson.
We've had him on the show. He was brilliant.
Yes, and he is brilliant on this show, and he's really helping parents navigate their way through what is a really tough gig. You know, we're all parents here. You guys listening there, you've probably got your kids in the car or just dropped them off at school. Parenting is a really tough gig. There's no right way or wrong way of doing it. We all do it to the best of our ability. It's either through lived experience, what we learned as kids and how we were parented, and we adopt that, and we either adapt it and go, hey, I didn't like that my parents did this, so I'm going to do it this way, or I really liked the way that I was parented. I turned out all right, and so that's how I'm going to parent my child. But there's always different things that are fluctuating.
Was there any smacking going on? Was there any
hitting?
Well,
there's lots of stuff going on, Marto. There is one family in particular that were highlighted because there are different families that apply different methods. And so there's the routine family, there's the nature-loving family who live off the grid, there's attachment parenting where they talk about their feelings with their children.
There's
homeschooling, there's free-range parenting. And then there's the strict parents.
We very clearly set the boundaries and the rules in the house and the expectations. Boundaries are really important for children, and there's clear expectations in every area of our family in terms of behaviour and
respect for authority.
Yeah, respect for authority. That comes with this.
We do use smacking as a form of discipline. It's one of the tools in the toolbox.
Smack quickly communicates that is not okay. There are boundaries. There are consequences. You can't just do whatever you want.
Did she say tools in the toolbox?
Tools in the toolbox. It is one of the tools in the toolbox. But it caused, I know, a lot of controversy in the public who watched
it. They didn't hit anyone on the show.
But no. But it does cause a lot of controversy within the show and the other families and their opinions on it.
For me, in this day and age, these are values that I would take with a pinch of salt.
Did you not pick up on the smacking, though?
The smacking?
Did you
smack a
corporal
child?
Corporal punishment.
Corporal punishment. She comes out and says, and she's a bit of a
well,
stirrer,
look at
this,
us.
This little one. She
look
has,
at how we turn.
Exactly. Well, there's nothing wrong with us, just that slight tick I've got.
The tick.
But obviously the parents who are the smackers were given the opportunity to explain themselves.
We see a smack as one tool in a parenting toolbox of options, and it's by no means the first tool that comes out of that toolbox.
You could see that they were clearly very uncomfortable in the situation. They felt like they were trying to justify their reasoning around why they do it. The dad eventually ended up breaking down into tears, aww, saying, we love our children so very much, and we care about them and we love them, and we don't see this as a form of abuse. We see this as a tool, they kept calling it.
Boy, I don't like the tool.
You know, in way of getting something. They explained that they call the child over. It's not out of rage or reaction, that they just kind of whack them, that they call them over and they say, now, you know what you've done wrong, turn around, and they smack them on the bottom.
So it's not like... You've heard people ring into this show talking about the old days. It's not like mum chasing you around with a thong and flogging
you. She said that. She said we don't chase them around. It's not chaotic. It's very well structured. But it didn't sit well with anybody else in the room.
My initial reaction to smacking was I was mortified. I strongly oppose it.
Smacking for us is a no.
A big fat no.
Big fat no. And Dr. Justin Coulson came out and said there is no research to back up that smacking is a good thing. But it's one of those topics because kids are onto it now and they're like, you can't hit me, I'll call the police.
Yeah, there weren't many 15-year-olds stealing cars in the old days, was there?
I can admit that I have used smacking as a tool, let's call it, on a very small handful of occasions. Yeah. And as a parent, I felt absolutely rotten for it and guilty. And
imagine if you're on TV doing it.
Exactly, Marto. And it is one of those things that it's divisive. Ooh, you know, there's all these different types of parentings, but when it comes down to it, smacking is one of those things that causes language like that. Oh, we use it as a tool. Oh, but it's child abuse. 133353. I want to know how it sits for you, smacking. Yes or no? Have you used it like this family as a great tool to be able to keep control over the boundaries and the guidelines in your family? Or are you on the other side of the fence, like pretty much most of the other families, unfortunately?
What's in their toolbox?
And says
money.
That it's not okay.
Bribery.
What form of discipline do you use? Because kids need discipline.
133353. Smacking. Yes or no?
I think now there's a very fine line, what they're calling, between punishment and abuse, Marto. And you grew up with corporal punishment in schools. Our teachers hit us, our aunts, bloody our aunties, our grandparents, anybody.
You were always dodging and ducking something. If you were
got a leg or a hand at you, you copped it. But now it's frowned upon, and smacking is becoming a thing of the past.
They didn't even tell you what you're getting smacked for in the old days. Jesus.
Chantel from Bethania. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes or no to smacking? Did you watch Parental Guidance last night?
I sure did. So me and my partner both watched it.
How did you feel?
We do smack our children, but after watching that last night, we really, like, we went in and hugged our kids while they were sleeping because we felt so bad. The response of everyone else, and it kind of made us second guess our decision.
Well, I think the whole concept of the show is to, you know, reassess and evaluate how you do parent, what other parents do, and maybe learn from that and pick up some of the other options. And you that happened for you. I know my husband and I sat on the couch last night, addressed how we parent and where we could be better, most definitely. So I think, you know, some positive will come out of this too, Chantel.
Jeez, as long as there's
love. Most definitely. Like, it's not the first thing we go to. Like, we've always, you know, we try sending them to their room or quiet time and all the rest. And then, it's just frustrating sometimes.
It can definitely be frustrating.
Trust yourself and your ability to give love, Chantel. That's the most important thing.
But I love
thing.
That Chantel could look inwards and go, hey, look, maybe we haven't done this the best way. Maybe we can do it a little bit differently. And you do. You feel guilty as parents all the time.
Andy from Beanley, you got kids?
Yeah, mate, our 18-year-old daughter.
Righto. What's been your theory?
Smacking, no. I've smacked her once and I still remember it clear as a bell.
You felt bad.
Yeah, wrong doing it.
Yeah.
And, mate, she's the most amazing, level-headed, well-balanced kid and didn't need to flog her to do it. And like, I'm like you, Marto, I grew up getting flogged at school with the cane and everything else.
Yep.
It worked for me, but it doesn't work in this day and age. You know, times have changed.
Righto, so it's some sort of a balance.
Yeah?
Oh, we do know better, yeah, exactly.
The more information, the more awareness we have, the better that we can all be and try and help each other and evolve.
We got to give away a few more $1,000, but so can we move through these quickly? Someone saying, plenty of people
David from Lansbury said he smacked. Sean from Alex Hills, kids should be smacked.
David from Lansbury said he smacked.
Anonymous said he was hit as a kid. 75% of Triple M callers, Marto, that we've had through this morning are in favour of smacking their kids. kids.
And I'm sure that's not just willy-nilly. That's as Andy was saying. You know, maybe once in their lives, that's all some of them need.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margot, you were just talking before the news. You were talking about my young bloke. He's over the border. He's in the hills behind Byron Bay, being a carpenter down there as a 21-year-old.
Moved down there for work, Margot.
Yeah, and he says he stayed.
He's stuck.
And now he's stuck, yes. Now he's very seriously stuck. Anyway, but he loves it down there because he loves his surfing, et cetera.
Of course.
So works all day, goes surfing.
Having a great time.
He is.
You're missing him. He might not be missing you so much.
I would believe that is exactly a phone call's enough for him, where his mother's missing him all. But that's not what this is about. Because, you know, when you move somewhere, like you've been in Brisbane forever, I've been my whole life here in Brisbane, you have your services. Like you have a dentist, you have a doctor, you have a mechanic, you have maybe a physio.
Well, I just said to you this morning, you've just moved into a new area. I said, is that your new local? And you said, I don't have a local. I don't know what that is yet.
It's very uncomfortable. And I've only moved.
Got to get a new butcher.
Exactly. And I've only moved 5 kilometres. He's moved a couple of 100 kilometres and he hasn't got any of those things, and it's really proved to be fatal. Oh, not fatal, but proved to be costly. All right, the other day he's Triton. So he's pride and joy. He's Triton all decked out with his tools, as young tradesmen do. And it just stopped. Okay, about on his way to work one morning, as he got to drive about 20 k's to get to work, it stopped.
He crapped itself, ran out of
what
fuel.
What do I do? When I was at work here, I said, well, I can't help you. You're going to have to sort this one out on your own. So he got it towed to the local mechanic. And I won't mention names because this isn't about crucifying anyone in particular, but he's been attempted to rip my son off. Said to my son, because I reckon because he doesn't know him, doesn't care about him, he's got a Queensland number plate. Said, nah, this is no good. You've done the time. You built the whole thing. Stuff. You're going to have to get a new engine. It'll cost you 10 grand. Your car's, listen, I'll give you 5 grand for your car. One of these classic ones, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This bloke's had a red hot go. Has it? I want to know if this has ever happened to anyone, because in the meantime, I've rung my mate here, Pete, who we talk to occasionally on air. He's a motoring expert. Talked to him. He said, no, I got a mate who can, Paul, Blake from Aspley. Paul went down.
Everybody
picked it
knows
up,
someone.
Picked it up on a truck. That's what the difference between knowing people and not knowing anyone.
Yeah.
Picked it up on a truck, went over to New South Wales that day, picked it up, brought it back to one of Brisbane's leading diesel mechanics. All right, so instead of riding the car, either putting a 10 grand engine in, this guy down in New South Wales wanted to write the car off. So
give him 5 grand.
I'll give you 5 grand. That's, just to be your friend. It's going to cost about 2 grand, the whole operation, maybe 2,500, and I'm driving it back down to the border today and he'll come and pick it up.
Problem solved.
This is car rip-offs. Has anyone had one of these? Like, especially if you're a newcomer, people don't care about you. If they don't know you, they don't give a stuff. They don't go that extra mile.
Corey always questions the servicing. You know, like we take our car back to Toyota at Springwood where we bought it from. They do all the servicing. And you just trust that they do the right thing. And if it needs a new air filter or brake discs.
But they would. And they charge you
whatever,
an extra.
But they charge you through the roof. And Corey's like, oh, surely, mate, didn't need to do that. Or does it really, is oil really that much? You know, and I'm like, just pay it. That's their job. Let them determine it.
But you can do better than that. Have you ever seen there's a little bit on those bills for rags?
I'll tell you what I just paid for. First service on the jet ski. Yes. Jesus.
$400. Wiper fluid, $9.
Wiper fluid, that's always a
good
one.
How much was jet ski service?
$400.
Holy hell.
First service. I was like, Jesus, that's more expensive than my car.
I don't know whether this will go anywhere, but I was looking for rip-offs. When you got quoted something, and what should you have paid? Have you ever had this situation? Or can a mechanic ring up and say, listen, I'll tell you what really happens here.
All right, okay.
133353. It's about rip-offs. Yeah, what did you get quoted and what should it have, or what did it actually end up costing?
Mechanics normally see women coming and think, oh, they don't know anything about cars. I can tell them whatever and they'll believe me. And it's sometimes you kind of wish that that wasn't the case. I'm really lucky. I know a little bit about cars. My dad also ran a tyre shop. Remember when we changed my wheel downstairs? I had a flat tyre. We put the spare on it.
Why did that take us more than an hour if you were a tyre expert?
The wheel actually had a crack in it, so I needed a new actual wheel. So I went up to Tyres and More just at Red Hill there. And can I say, like, I know mechanics get a bad rap and there's plenty about them who are dodgy, but Leon and his family owned business up there at Red Hill were incredible.
Nice.
He gave me his wheel nuts off, because we put the wheel nuts off my aftermarket wheel onto the spare, but they're the wrong wheel nuts for the spare. So he gave me his set of wheel nuts off his his Land Cruiser and lent them to me for a week until I could get my tyre changed and get my wheel nuts and
I'm
all that.
I'm not after good stories. I'm after rip
They do get a bad rap, but there are some good ones out there.
New South
you
Wales
know a
mechanics.
Good one, obviously, and you found one, Marto, to help you out, but there's some bad ones out there.
Well, I just want to hear about rip-offs that you've had, especially with cars. Ben from the Grange, how are you, mate?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What happened?
Ben, you been ripped off?
I nearly got bloody ripped off proper one day. I own a Chevy Silverado. And
truck.
Yeah, I just rang up because I worked 6 till 6 when I was working up at the Sunny Coast area there. And I needed just an oil filter change. That's all I needed.
Right.
And I rang up this company that specialise in American pickups and that. And they wanted to charge me $780 for an oil and filter change.
Drop the oil and put a new filter in.
Yeah, mate, yeah, $780. I thought, nah, I'll have a bit of a dig in here. So I went down to Repco while I was on my smoko break, and I went there and I bought 10 litres of oil, a filter, and a Red Bull can for $128. Me and one of me fitter mates just hooked in. When we finished work, got it done in 20 minutes flat, drinking stubbies the whole time.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice, mate. That is beautiful story, Ben. And that's what happens if you're prepared to do it.
How do they justify the $780? You know, that's what I want to know. I always go,
they can't.
But fuel's this, like, oil's this much, and your time is, what, $45 an hour at most?
They're hoping you don't give us stuff, that you'll just,
or you don't know, you're just going to throw money at it because you're silly.
People who do roofs, they can't see what you've done up there and they can charge whatever they like. Chris from Beanley, have you got a rip-off story?
Yeah, well, I'm a mechanic myself and I used to work in a dealership, so I know what goes on.
Yeah, so Chris, I always find that dealers, compared to like a, you know, run-of-the-mill small business owner mechanic, seem to charge exorbitant prices when you go and get your servicing done or any sort of work. Oh. Why? How do they justify the price gouging?
Well, they say that it costs them a lot of money to set things up. Like, when I used to work for a dealer in Springwood, people used to lose their keys and you needed an extra key, they would charge you $175 or $250 for an extra key, and they would say they need the car for at least 2 hours when it would actually take two minutes with a scan tool. Yeah, and they would park the car inside and leave it so they could charge you the full money.
Oh, wow.
I don't want any names.
But that'd be what a lot of them are doing. And I know they'll scream.
Still do it.
Yeah.
You know what? Car wash places do it too, because they'll say, I need your car for an hour or two, and then you get a text 20 minutes later saying your car's done. I'm like, 2 hours? It took you 20 minutes. I'm paying $120 for that.
No, I'm just going to say, wash your own car.
Chris, thanks for the call.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M.
Whenever we need a racing expert, we go to this bloke. Richard Friedman. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thanks, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Now, listen, where do we need to start to disassemble this? Now, just should we declare that your brother has a runner in Delphi number 7, so we'll disregard what you say about Delphi?
Oh, no. Delphi's obviously a talented horse, but he didn't run very well on the Caulfield Cup, and he's been vetted this morning. He's past fit to run, so I'm sure he'll be fine to run, but, you know, he'll be up against it.
Richard, I don't need he'll be fine to run because I've got him as one of the horses in my box that I want to put on today. Can you give me any more assurance than that? And what?
I can assure you that they are now subjected to the most stringent of vet tests. And if there was any doubt, he wouldn't be running. So there's obviously no doubt.
Richard, do they now do them? Did I see you had to have what humans would regard as an MRI, a full inspection, a CAT scan, whatever, by Thursday last week?
Yeah, theoretically, but the machine broke down. I don't know if they got the part in time, but they did a lot of X-rays and things like that. They've really gone through these horses with a fine tooth comb as best they possibly can.
Richard, is that to help appease the controversy between animal cruelty and the amount of injuries and sometimes death that we see around Melbourne Cup and some of the controversy that we see with animal rights groups boycotting the cup?
I wouldn't say it's to appease them. I just think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
just make sure that the horses that are running are suited to do it. Now, you know, it's mainly around imported horses that fly in for the race and fly out because
Locally trained horses, we haven't had a catastrophic breakdown in a Melbourne Cup since 1979 with locally trained horses. So, you know, this is about foreign horses, and I think it's the right thing to do, that they're very – they're now extraordinarily stringent about the soundness of those horses going into a race. Now, that doesn't guarantee that you won't have some incident, but it mitigates it enormously. So I just think it's the right thing to do. You know, I think the racing industry has listened to a lot of those voices that have, you know, rightfully upset about that and reacted accordingly.
Hey, mate, can you run the rule over incentivise? We've thrown our whole weight behind the Queenslander. Are we barking up the right tree?
Well, if, you know, what can you say about him? He started from nowhere.
He's a freak.
And he's won, you know, he's heading for 10 in a row, I think. And, you know, he's just won everything that they've put in front of him. Okay, he's gone up in weight. He goes up in distance. He's drawn wide. I don't pay any attention to barriers. They're meaningless in a Melbourne Cup. But yeah, the other people tell you he's drawn wide. Look, I still think he can win. I think he's the horse to beat. It's not a guarantee that he'll run 3,200 metres, but he looks like he will. And he's got all the right form, you know. So horses that win the Caulfield Cup and cop a penalty into the Melbourne Cup, which he did, he got a kilo and a half.
Yeah.
They got a pretty good record of winning it. So, I'd be saying he's the testing material.
If he's that short, and we're talking about boxing either trifectas or first fours, and you put him as the banker, who else have you got in there? Because you're the specialist at this.
Well, I've got a few of these. I like Twilight Payment, the number one. I know he's got to carry 58 kilos, but he's guaranteed to run the trip, former winner. And when horses back up and win it again, which has happened a number of times, they do have to carry similar weights to that. So yeah, I don't think it's beyond him. So I'll be putting him in, and I think he's double figures. Spanish Mission, best of the imported horses. And imported horses have had a fantastic record, so we can't deny that. So I'd be putting him in. So we've got 1, 2, 3. Very elegant. I spoke to Chris Waller this morning. He thought it was the best of his chances in the Melbourne Cup, and we know what a champion mare she is. I know she failed at her first time, but you know what? I don't like horses that don't win at the first time, but I would still be putting her in for the first four for sure.
So 1, 2, 3, 4. Are we going to go through the whole field?
No, we're not going through the whole field.
Talk about Grand Promenade. He's on the. I don't even know what it is. Is it a boy or a girl?
Grand Promenade.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a six-year-old bay gelding.
He's on the front cover of the Courier Mail this morning with Dale to Goodrum, our golden girl.
That doesn't mean anything.
What does that mean?
Well, funnily you should say that because he was my next horse I was going to put in,
okay.
Number 16, Grand Promenade, and I put in the 23, which is...
Great House,
yeah. Look, those horses that run well close to the race tend to run well again. So there's a bit of value. If you can frame your first four, maybe throw another couple in. Take it for a percentage, you might get a result.
We'll be ringing you tomorrow to thank you. You know that. Or to bag you.
Yeah, as long as you don't ring me tomorrow to remonstrate that I didn't get it.
Mate, you're usually great. Richard Freeman, thanks for helping everybody.
No problem.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast
with Marto and Margot.
Now, most people, if they're looking for fashion advice, come to Triple M, don't they, Margot?
Of course, yes. We are the fashion network.
I see on the telly last night, they were saying what today's all about. They had a fashion guru on there and I went, oh, that's what it's about.
This Melbourne Cup, it's been about the headband.
It's all about the headband. What?
It is a new trend that people are jumping on.
Are you making this up?
Normally it's about the hat, Marto.
Yeah.
Melbourne Cup is big and bold. You can do anything that you want. But this year, I think, you know, lots of women don't like hats. They get hat hair and they don't look good in a hat. And so they're trying to bring something else to the plate. And the headband, big, bold headband seems to be it. I'm doing a headband this year.
So it's not the Steve Smith one that you wear, like the toweling one around you to keep your helmet a bit drier.
No, definitely not.
Why don't you wear helmets? Because a lot of girls fall down on Melbourne Cup Day. They should probably have a helmet.
That's a really good question.
This is the headband helmet. I will be wearing, Marto. It's very colourful.
Oh, okay.
Because Melbourne Cup is all about bright, bold, colourful.
But have a look at the time. It's 8 o'clock. If I haven't got time to get one of those, listen to what they said to do.
For those who've left it too late to shop around, you can always repurpose what you have at home.
Like you could tie a ribbon around your head and put the hat on top.
Oh, that old one. I reckon just get an Oki strap.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
There's some cricket on last night. If you missed any, though, catch up with KO Mini's ICC T20 Cricket World Cup condensed match highlights. If you're new to KO, why not start your free trial today?
Melbourne Cup Day, Margo. Let's all spare a thought for the commentators, the race commentators, the hardest commentary job in the world of sport.
Would you say that?
Oh, undoubtedly, Margo. I've spoken and I've got a mate who, a guy I went to school with, calls the Brisbane races. He's been building up to it ever since he left school. He did the dogs, then he did the trots and finally elevated to the races, and he does Eagle Farm.
Why is it the hardest?
Because every 30 minutes or 35 minutes, you've got between 10 and 24 horses who you've never seen before who are throwing colours on. You have to learn them. They've got so little time to do that. And then that race goes, and then you've got another race. And there's 10 races at Flemington today. You've got a feel for those guys. And at race seven's the Melbourne Cup. And the problem is...
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Sorry. If Ray Warren was the caller of the NRL, who would be the caller of the Melbourne Cup?
Who is the caller now? Well, they've been through a heap over the years. Greg Miles, is he still doing it now?
Yeah, Bruce McAvaney, is he a caller? No he's commentator?
He has done it for Channel 7.
Matt Hill, apparently.
Matt Hill. Yeah.
Matt Hill. Okay, great.
And they're wonderful. But the problem is, 10 races, if you're not feeling good at the start... Just talking about Ray Warren, Greyhound race only goes for about, 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Some of these races are going for 2 and 3 minutes, and they get worn out like this bloke.
On the inside, Lindell Dainty, and at the tail in the field, we're looking about 5 or 6 metres to Boobaroey boy. I think we're gone here. No, I don't think I'll get through this. Elijah Yatesy, where are you? We need you, mate. In front of Laya Rose, down the outside, trying hard, was one step closer, but Laya Rose.
What's happened? I thought you did a good way. Bennett. But is that actually someone's voice?
I believe they put the green screen around him and put him down that race. And then you take the other end, you take a guy who only does it once a year, our very own Moon Man.
Oh, Lawrence.
From a couple of years ago, I can't let today go without running, well, let him run the Munters Cup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Doomben for the running of the All Aussie Handicap Cup. The horses are making their way onto the track. Yeah, that's better. There's heaps of starters in today's 2,000 metre Group 1 event. Number one, She'll Be Right. She looks quite relaxed. Me Misses, she's a classy filly. The Munter is the favourite. I've Had a Skinful, Take a Sickie. Tracky Dax, always a big crowd favourite, especially today. Can I Bot a Dairy? I wasn't actually asking. That's the name of a horse. Punch a Cone, Sick Ute, Dick Stickers. Nice, Gary. What are you looking at, mate? Don't Start Bludger and a bunch of others. Okay, they've moved in. They are in the starter's hat and the red light is flashing. Don't spin out. It's not emergency services or nothing. And they are off in the All Aussie Handicap Cup. Sick Ute and Punch a Cone get away quickly. Can I Bot a Dairy is close to Tracky Dax with Dick Stickers tucked in closely behind and pushing up hard. Nice Gary is moving and nipping back off the seam. Shuby Wright is travelling well. The Munter looks well positioned. Toward the rear of the field, Take a Sickie and I've Had a Skinful of Stilly Contention. Me Misses is making a move now from the rear of the field and is moving up on Can I Bot a Dairy. As they round for home, what are you looking at, mate? Seems sliding and distracted. He's taken a bite of I've Had a Skinful, who seems to be dry reaching. The Munter's looking strong, but he's going too wide. Me Misses has got Dick Stickers covered. Nice Gary's making a run. And here comes Sick Ute around the outside. Coming down the home straight, they are in a line. What are you looking at, mate? Can I Bot a Dairy? I've Had a Skinful. Me Misses is flashing home. Sick Ute is flying. Take a Sickie. Don't Start You Bludger. Here comes the Munter. It's going to be above the head on the line. What are you looking at, mate? Punch a Cone. Don't Start You Bludger. Can I Bot a Dairy? I've Had a Skinful. Take a Sickie. She'll Be Right. Dick Stickers and Tracky Dax. But it's Munter and the Misses. It's the Munter and Me Misses. The Munter by a short half hand. Right over Me Misses. Nice, Gary.
All right. So clever.
That helps everyone.
I wonder what Punch a Cone's odds were at. Surely long.
Oh, God.
So clever.
The Moon Man's too good.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, even a hard ass like me, you failed to not be impressed and really emotional about what happened at Sydney Airport yesterday, the International Airport, with all the tears and the hugs.
The reunions.
Well, it was bloody terrific. These people hadn't seen each other for more than a year. Oh, here's some of them when they greeted each other.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Thank you, baby. It's great to be home.
Absolutely incredible to be home. It's been a very long time.
It's going to be very emotional.
A bit scary and exciting. I've come home to see my mum because she's not well.
Mm. Oh, there were so many good stories.
So many beautiful stories.
Might happen one day in Brisbane. Let's see. But, they went into it. A lot of pilots. Like, I've got my niece's husband's a pilot for Qantas. He featured on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. Mm. And for them to go back in, he had to he's been out working on a cattle property. He's been working as a cleaner. He's been doing all sorts of things. And finally, he's back in the plane. And they're so grateful. And I listened to that pilot landing it yesterday.
Little Ann, 3-4 left. It's great to be back.
Yeah, great to be back.
Do you think maybe that you were a little bit more emotional in regards to the story last night because I know you're missing your son, Harry?
I think so, yeah, because I just that's why I want things to be opened up so we can all go and see who we want to see. All this nonsense is over.
It's hard to watch, isn't it? You know, you see people from Melbourne and New South Wales where it's been the most lockdown city in the entire world.
The joy.
And they can finally, international borders have opened, and yet we here in Queensland who have had the lowest cases and deaths in the country outside of WA, and we still can't get across our state borders.
I'm not going to let my bitterness rain on any parade, because what I saw is when they were landing, there were people clapping and stuff.
Yeah, cheering. Everybody's elated. We'd all traded stories.
Now,
what is it like, though, Marto? Like, tell us, because we haven't been, I don't know about you, Jamie, you've moved up from New South Wales, but I haven't been separated from any of my family. We're all here in the same state, but you are experiencing it. You're separated from your son, who's at
I'm less than a two-hour drive from my son. I don't want to get emotional about this. I'm less than a two-hour drive from my son, but he may as well be overseas. Mm. He may as well be in Canada. He may as well be somewhere where you're just not allowed to see him. I'll deal with that. I may see him across the border again today, but that's another story. But what I want to talk, I did want to talk about planes. Mm. The clapping. Like, have you guys ever been on a plane where people, you've been through a storm? I got hit by lightning one night. And people clap.
You got hit by lightning.
I got hit by lightning, travel between Sydney and Brisbane one night. And
on a plane?
Yeah. And it's all right. The captain came on and said, no problems. This is where we can cope with this. This is where these are built to withstand this sort of stuff, and it's conducted and everything else. But everyone, when we landed, clapped him. And I thought, no.
It's weird.
What a feeling.
He's in behind a wall where no terrorist can get through.
Like,
she doesn't.
God, we made it. Jeez.
But who claps the pilot? That's his job. Like, yeah, he got it down. Like, his job is to take off and to land, and the rest of it's pretty easy.
It's not like he landed upside down in the Hudson River or something like that and got everyone to say, oh, yeah, well done.
What about a poor old bus driver? Like, who claps him? Oh, nice one, mate.
Well,
you always say
thank you to the bus driver on the way out. I don't know how long it's been since you caught public transport, but we always used to say thank you. Thank you. Thanks, mate.
All right. Thanks. Oh, no, cabs, you're right. If a cabbie goes through a very orange light, you always go, oh, no,
good job, orange. Yeah, good job, cabbie.
But the one I feel for, therefore, is the train driver. Who gets off a train and makes the effort to walk 50 metres?
Oh, no one.
Ace work, mate. You pulled it up at the station.
Poor train drivers. I mean, even my kids clap me when they get home. They're like, yes, thank God.
Well done,
mum. You got
to see. So think about it at the supermarket today. If you see a truck pulling with some meat, just go around and give him a clap
and go, nice, well done, champion.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for your next Queensland holiday. Whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime, you can't beat days like this in Queensland.